Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Former NFL quarterback, now AM 790 in Houston, Sean Salisbury with us. Sean, Happy New Year, buddy. How you doing?
I'm well. Happy New Year to you guys, too.
Right now, we got a lot of exciting things happening in this new year as the Browns look for a new head coach. Today, Ian Rappaport reported, Sean, that the Browns are not allowing Freddie Kitchens the opportunity to talk to other teams about their offensive coordinator position, and they are interviewing him for their head coaching position. What do you make of that? Do you think it would be a good idea to almost force Freddie Kitchens on the next head coach, or even make him a head coach themselves, even though he's only been a coordinator for half a season?
Yeah, two things to that. One is, while it may be selfish, it's a selfish compliment to Freddie saying, look what you've done. Here's the regard we hold you in. Now, is it a bummer that he's not giving up for his personal growth career-wise not to go out and interview, at least right now? Yeah, I get it. But I do love the fact that he's there with the quarterback he likes. They want to ball hog him. I don't blame him. Heck, wouldn't you? If you think you've got a commodity that people want, dude, you're going to have to hold up because we like you, and we want you to come in and interview for the head coach. And if you're Cleveland and you're the head coach coming in and you're the owner in the front office, you say, no. You want to have this job? You're taking Freddie Kitchens as the coordinator if Freddie doesn't get the head coaching job. Why not? I don't want to let my best – we do that too often. We let good people get out of the building because we want to be cool about it. Now, I understand being unselfish, but damn, if it's my team and I've seen the growth I've seen, I'll ball hog Freddie too, because there's a line waiting for Freddie Kitchens to get out on the open market to go interview. So – I love it. I think it's smart by Cleveland. And I think this is only the beginning of what Freddie's got in front of him. And I know people in Cleveland hope it's there. I'm sure he'll interview well. His body of work speaks for itself, and they've seen it right in the building. All you got to do is walk upstairs. They know what Freddie brings to the team, and I'm sure there's a bunch of people there endorsing. So while it may be selfish and people may say that's weak not to let Freddie go out and do it, I'm not letting my best people get out of the building if I can control it. I think it's a wise move by the Cleveland Browns, and it's one of those compliments that you're like, dang, I wish I could, but if I can be the head coach or whatever here, I'm in. So I think it's a great opportunity for Freddie, and he's proven it. A lot of people talk it. Freddie hadn't done much talking. He's just done it with production instead of potential. The potential's been there. The production's now there. It's a good place to be, and a lot of people like to be in Freddie Kitchens' situation right now.
You know, before you came on, Sean, my partner and I, we had a little disagreement on, you know, people being replaceable. And I kind of think that Freddie Kitchens, in this situation, may not be replaceable because of his relationship with Baker. You know, their attitudes, how they just kind of really, really fit together so well. Do you believe that everybody's replaceable?
I think most are. I don't think there's many sacred cows is what I call them. I'm talking about as players and coaches. There's a handful. But the key is not thinking you're irreplaceable. Is if you're the individual, you know, I've seen a lot of guys who think that the league's not as big as they are. And the league, when I was getting recruited, I'll tell you a real quick story, and I don't mean this arrogant, but it was. And when I was in high school getting recruited, I was the number one recruit in the country, you know, in what you consider a five-star rivals guy then. And John Robinson came into my living room. Everybody else, you're going to start as a freshman. You know, I went trips to Notre Dame and all over the place. John Robinson's got his 78 national title ring on. He's sitting in front of my family on the last few days before signing day. And he said, listen, Sean, we want you. We're going to create an environment for you to be incredibly successful in, a place to compete. We've got great players here around you. We love you, and we want you here at USC. But make no mistake about it, and I'll never forget this quote, and it humbled me as a 17-year-old. He said, USC's still going to show up on Saturday, and we're still going to win. And I look back, and when he left that day, shook his hand. When he left that day, my dad looked at me and goes, I think you want to be a part of that, don't you? I said, you're damn right I do.
Yeah.
Because it was creating kind. So, well, I you know, they're sacred. And the reason I say that is as long as you don't think you're bigger than the operation, you can be irreplaceable. So I do think there are some. And, And I think you guys are on to something. I understand the argument. I think everybody, if you got great players, you can turn a coach who may not have been looked at as a genius into a genius. But if you got both, then you got the New England Patriots with Belichick and Brady. So I think some are, I don't know if irreplaceable is the right word, but it's really, really difficult to put a finger on to get not only production, but the respect and the relationships where there's comfort zone for everybody. And so I think Freddie's created a situation, replaceable, we all are, but, and I don't think Freddie thinks he's not, but also makes it very difficult for you to let him out of the building. Hence why the Cleveland Browns, that they think right now, judging from what we hear from Ian and what's going on, that he might be one of the more irreplaceable guys we have, so, or that's out there, and that's a good thing.
We're talking with Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback, now with 790 in Houston. Sean, when you look at all the coaching jobs available, we are a little biased here. We think the Browns job is available, probably the Packers too, maybe the Jets three, and then you know who knows with the rest. How do you rank them?
Exact order you just said, and this is, has nothing to do with me coming on here. There's no question about it in my mind, that, and it was an easy one for me. It's Cleveland, and then I thought, okay, is Green Bay or New York better? Probably Green Bay with the history, number 12 still there, but that dude in New York ain't half bad in Darnold. He looked like the guy that's supposed to change a franchise too. And that's exactly the order I have him. And then from four on, if you like Denver more than Arizona, we know what eight is. Okay, they're that other team in
Ohio.
That's right.
Yep.
It's the Bengals. That's the eighth one. Okay, then the others, you can shuffle them any way you want. It's an easy one for me. It's the with what's called, it's the Cleveland Browns right now. Talent, strong front office, you build it with a quarterback, and they make tremendous strides towards the next level. And I think there's a whole bunch of swagger, not just Baker, but in the building. I don't think the Cleveland Browns players look around and think we're taking a backseat to anybody. I actually think they feel that they're like a dominant team right now, and that's a good feeling in a building. It is completely changed there, because if I'd have told you guys 5 years ago, let's get rid of where we live and how we feel. As a Raider fan, I feel the same, you know, like, dang. When the Raiders were looking for what John brought in, I said, man, we got to get this back to Oakland Raider football. 5 years ago, if I'd have told you, hey, you know, 5 years from now, the Cleveland Browns are going to be the number one job in the offseason for a head coach. Everybody, even Cleveland fans would have said, get the hell out of here with what's going on and coaching changes, and we're looking for the quarterback. Now, I'll tell everybody outside of Cleveland, I haven't met one person who watches it closely and he say who the number one job is, say anybody but Cleveland first right now, unless you're a total homer in New York or Arizona. It is the number one job of the eight openings this offseason. That is it.
You know, Sean, it's funny as we talk about these coaching searches and hires, how fans, you know, look at a guy who gets fired as a failure, you know, like a Mike McCarthy, for instance, right? A guy who won a Super Bowl and had tons of success in this league, or a Jim Caldwell who was interviewed, went to a Super Bowl, of course. It's like you feel like you want the coach at the top when he's at the top. That's why I think some people want the unknown, because they haven't failed yet. I think I'd potentially rather have a coach that's failed, learn from mistakes, and can continue to learn from those as he comes into the Cleveland Browns. What do you think about that in coaches like McCarthy and Caldwell?
I think that's an excellent point. I'm with you. See, we talk about, oh, the guy's been there before and a failure. First of all, anybody that calls a coach that's been fired a failure then doesn't understand the coaching business, because most of them have. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a guy who came in, had one job his whole career, and left it, whether you were fired as an assistant, fired as head coach. And then we judge everybody by Belichick and Nick Saban and those guys.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Belichick was fired.
Yep.
He was at Cleveland. And I'm with you. I love guys that can learn, because I believe that anything we do in life, to be great at it, I think you kind of have to go through adversity or hit a little bit of rock bottom for you to appreciate what it looks like on the mountaintop. Very few people in any job and anything outside of sports or not just woke up, stepped into it, boom, and had nothing but success for 50 years. That's hard to do. So I kind of like my quarterback when I came on here in August and told you guys it's okay to get knocked around, get punched in the mouth as a quarterback, throw a few picks and learn from it. Same as a coach. So I'm kind of I sit on both sides, because I don't mind. I'd love a guy with experience that's been beat up, because failure happens to all of them, and that's how you learn. Because it's hard. When we call a coach that's won 58 or 60% of his games, that's big-time success. And that means the four other times, or four and a half other times, you're losing. So that's hard to do. So, and on the other side, when people say, well, he's inexperienced, like Freddie, as head coach, well, how the hell are we going to find out about him unless somebody hires him?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do? Hey, say go back to high school and go to Massillon High School, go coach there, and then come on back and we'll see if you're any. Give me a break. The only way we find out about the Grudens or the Belichicks, even though when he went to Cleveland, or guys like Mike McCarthy, when he went to, you know, as a Saints coordinator and goes there, we only find out until we see how you respond to being in the fire. And some respond well, some don't. And the second time they've learned. So I'm good with either. I am. I could care less. If the guy's proven to me, like Sean McVay, that he can come in and own the building, why the hell do I have a problem if he's not been a head coach? Well, he answered that, didn't he? Or Matt Nagy. It's the same thing here. But I also don't look at a guy who's Mike McCarthy as a failure. Mike McCarthy's been one hell of a coach in the NFL. Now, whether you want him in your building or not, that's fine. But Mike McCarthy's going to be a head coach, and Mike McCarthy's been a great success. And we only judge coaches, it seems like, to get fired. Like, oh, he got fired. He's no good anymore. That's hogwash. And it's the same when a quarterback gets benched. It doesn't mean he can't play. He had a bad day or had a bad three-game stretch. He can overcome that if his mental fortitude and his emotional toughness is there. So I have no problem with either one. I want the guy in the building. When I interview, people ask me, who is my number one choice? Well, it's hard for me to say. On the surface, I know what they do. But I want a guy to sit across from me and convince me as a head coach. I'm wondering who your staff is, but the number one thing is, can you take a player who, regardless of how he feels about his game, make his game better? Can you make a guy that you think's a 7, turn him into an 8.5 and make him play like that? Kind of step outside himself and get comfortable being uncomfortable where he goes, man, this coach has a way of me elevating my play. That's the number one thing, leadership and you know, how they're going to run their offense. That'll all come together with your staff and when you do it, because we've seen their body of work. I want to know, when you sit across from me and John Dorsey and the owner, can you convince me that you can take a player and make him even play past his own expectations? If you can do that, I can win with you, period.
Well said, Sean. Let's talk playoffs. About 48 hours away from them getting going, your Texans will be hosting the Colts. Dustin and I are actually split on that game. He likes the Texans. I like the Colts. We both like the Seahawks. We both like the Bears. I like the Ravens. He likes the Chargers. What say you about these games?
I have three road teams winning this week. I do. I'm with you on the and with you guys on this Texans Colts game's dangerous for the Texans because they've never been able to stop T.Y. Hilton. And I just think overall they're a better team offensively than because I think, put it this way, the Colts, if luck plays good, or, you know, somewhere in good, I think they can win. The Texans cannot win this game. Cannot. If Deshaun Watson plays average football, they're not going to win.
Right.
So he's got to play outside himself, which is the way he plays all the time. He's spectacular. I do like the Colts a little bit until I see somebody, because if you don't hit Andrew Luck in this game, he's going to throw for 400. He just is. And that's dangerous. And it's a pick 'em for me. Right now, I'm leaning towards the Colts, although I hope I'm wrong because I live here. But in the other ones, the Bears defense, I think's a little too much, although Foles seems to play better when it means more. And the Chargers, I think, are going to go into Baltimore because I think they're capable of making Lamar Jackson the one-dimensional runner. And if they have to throw 25, 35 times, I don't think Baltimore can sustain that. I don't think they want to. I'm going with the Chargers on the road as well. And I got the Seahawks going into Dallas. Well, I got actually three road teams winning. And the one home team, who's the home team?
Bears.
Yeah, the Bears at home. But I wouldn't bet that game because I'm not overly secure because Nick Foles seems to, like I said, do something crazy when everybody thinks the Eagles are going to be eliminated.
No doubt.
I like that little three-team road parlay, though.
Yeah, you know, I just got to have the balls to go out and jump on it.
Yeah.
they're all close spreads, pretty much pick-ems.
Except for the Bears.
Guys, think about this. This is the best weekend of the NFL, in my opinion. But you think about this is with all those games, we talk about the road games and who to pick. Tell me right now that the Seahawks is, what, a 5 seed? That you don't believe they can go and get to the Super Bowl? I do.
Yeah.
With Russ Wilson. With Russ. And tell me right now, you don't think the Colts could at least go on a 2-game run and be playing in the AFC Championship game? I do.
Yep. I'm picking the Colts to go to the Super Bowl.
There you go. So I think these lower seeds, if you blink, they're going to beat you because right now in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes to go, you give me Russ Wilson or Andrew Luck, and they got the ball in their hand, I think I've got a pretty good chance of beating any defense, whether it's Baltimore's or Chicago's, if they run into them along the way.
Yeah.
But, man, defenses usually rear their head this time of year. That's what makes Baltimore and Chicago pretty dangerous.
Sean, great stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
You guys keep killing it. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, buddy. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
What? Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.